The reading is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit."
Thank you, Brian. We join in prayer. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. In John's Gospel, night time is really quite a strong metaphor for all the dark, you might say, the anti-God forces. Jesus is arrested at night. Judas goes out from the Lord's Supper to betray him, and it was night. Jesus tells his followers to walk while they have the light, because the darkness is coming when no one can work, and said that to them, "The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light." And Nicodemus came by night. He was a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish ruling council. You could say part of the establishment against which Jesus and all he stood for was ranged. So when Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You must be born from above, the wind blows where it chooses, you hear the sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit," we are likely to say, "Hell yes!" But just at this point, we Christians need to be very careful. In the weeks after Pentecost here at Tintail, the life of the Spirit will be at the fore of our thinking. The Spirit of unity, the Spirit of freedom, the Spirit of transformation, the Spirit of purity, beginning today with being born of the Spirit. But during all this talk about the Spirit, we will have to be very careful. Because Christian talk about the Spirit, the language of the Spirit in Christian circles, and the casual way in which often we set the spiritual over against the physical, has been the bane of the church for centuries. Perhaps it was bound to be, once the church set out with a message contrasting the life of God with the life of the world, light and dark, good and evil, in a world that understood that contrast very well. Except that it was a widespread understanding at the time, and has remained so ever since, that this physical, frail world in which we live, a world racked with suffering and destruction, is dark and deathly and doomed, and was and remains, in the view of many, unreal. The real world is out of sight, just behind. It is spiritual, of which this world is but a shadow. Ideas going right the way back to the time of Plato, but occurring across all the religions in the time of Jesus and the early church, and were widespread and remain so today around the world. Ideas that belong to much that comes out of Eastern religion. I am a member of the multi-faith chaplaincy team in the university and pleased to be so. But I sometimes wince at some of this stuff. The idea that this world is unreal and the spiritual world is real. We have to be very careful. It is nearly Christian language. Born of the Spirit gives life, be led by the Spirit, don't follow the desires of the flesh. But often, when that language has been used amongst Christians, all the angst about the world has followed, that has dogged the footsteps of Christianity for centuries. Our hang-ups about sex, thinking that churchy holiness is better than worldly concerns like earning a living or building a home. It is why often priests and monks and nuns are seen as somehow closer to God than ordinary folk, however much they may themselves eschew such an understanding. It's also why we good free Baptists have never been quite able to let go of the word sanctuary to describe our buildings, as if it is somehow special, the building, because it is used for spiritual purposes. Why we often feel guilty because we're not praying enough, and we instinctively think that only those activities that come with a word like spiritual attached are worthy activities for Christians. Why much of the rhetoric in our part of the church is centered on ministers and what they do, and why we can't help ourselves thinking of everybody else as somehow the laity. We have to be very careful. And it's not just in the church, it's in the world. Today, when folk have little time for organized religion, one of the highest ideals remains to be a spiritually minded person. Why so many art and culture and mind-based activities are often thought of as being somehow higher, above the mundane things like engineering and farming and building and all the rest. We have to be very careful, or else we will misrepresent the faith of the Galilean and a religion that was born in a stable in Bethlehem, that was honed in a carpenter's shop in Nazareth, and that was forged in the crucible of wood and blood at Calvary. Jesus was flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone, one of us. He came, so we believe, because God so loved this world. He came out of the history that gave us Moses striking living water from the rocks of this world, the prophets of the Old Testament insisting that justice and mercy in this world were the true marks of godliness, Job insisting that despite all his suffering, in his flesh he will see God. We have to be very careful. Yet still, we must find a way of speaking the language of the Spirit and turning from the darkness of the world. And in a way, it's quite simple. It's not that the spiritual world is real and the physical world is unreal, but that the physical world is real when it is spiritual. And that true and just and peaceful and righteous things are spiritual things. But the Spirit gives life, true, transformed life. That without the Spirit of God, the world is dead and dying, but with God's Spirit, it is truly alive. And with the Spirit, the work of the world sings with purpose. The art of the world rings with truth. Its communities dance with welcome, and its politics bursts with fairness. Its commerce and its culture fly and flourish as people everywhere discover that they are alive with the life of God. We have to be very careful for the sake of this world. It is a world that is lost in death and destruction. It is mired in sickness and suffering. It is marred by injustice and unfairness because it is without the Spirit of God. But all who are born of the Spirit are born of God and have the Spirit of justice and truth and gentleness and love coursing through their veins. And they are walking through this world not in darkness, not hiding and trying to conceal their love of money or power or celebrity or anything else, but in the light of the world, glad to be seen serving and loving the world in Christ's name. Nicodemus came at night, out of a world that was dark without God, for all that it was very religious, not unlike our world. Religion and spirituality are everywhere, but it is a dark world for the lack of God's life. Nicodemus came to the light of the world and heard about the life of the Spirit. We in our world are no different. We also have come to the light of the world and discovered in Christ the Spirit of God. His flesh is our flesh, and his way, the way of suffering love in this world, is our way. And at the center is bread and wine, the things of earth, and he will raise us up, and the things of earth shall become the things of heaven. Hymn is printed and will be projected, telling the story of Nicodemus all the way through. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above.